Hey. Hello. Well, it's good to be back, I think. I'm not sure where I'm at or what I'm doing, really, but we'll get through it. Amen. In Exodus chapter 26, let's start reading in verse number 7. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one shall be 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6 curtains in the forefront of the tabernacle. Thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. Thou shalt make 50 thatches of brass, and put the thatches into the loops, and couple the tent together that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle, and a cubit and on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent. It shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. Thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, a covering above of badger skins. We've got 3 coverings to finish here before we get through with this. We just finished the white linen. That is speaking of Christ and the deity and all of that, the purity. And they had the seraphims all embroidered in it. And that's what the priests would see when they would walk into the tabernacle. Okay? Now, the second covering that we're talking about this morning is the goat's hair covering. There's 2 other coverings on top of this, and each one has a specific purpose and duty and different sizes as well. The second covering covered over that linen curtain, and it was made out of goat's hair. And we'll talk about this, and that's going to be a little bit interesting, I think. It consists of 11 curtains. Now remember, the linen curtain was only 10 curtains rather, 5 in each group. So you have 2 equal parts that are coming and dividing together. That covered the exact top of the tabernacle. But this one has 11 curtains. One curtain was made up of 6 pieces of 30 cubits, that's 45 feet, and by 4 cubits, which is 6 feet. The other curtain was made of 5 pieces of the same size. Can we turn this down just a little bit, brother? There we go. I'm hearing myself, and that's dangerous. So these 2 would be hooked together. There were 11 curtains that made up the goat's hair. And 11 the number 11 is associated throughout Scripture with death and sin. And so you might see this as we go through how it relates here. This symbolism is brought together in the tabernacle with the goat's hair. Everything of the tabernacle, remember, is a picture of Jesus Christ, or the work of Christ, or the character of Christ. Each different piece is showing different aspects of the Lord Jesus. Now, think about that goat coarse outer hair. It's very, very, very difficult to spin that coarse outer hair. Some people say it's impossible. There's a finer kind of a wool type thing. It's close into the goats, And some people say, well, that's what they used. I don't think so. I think they used the actual long, kind of stiff hair, and I'll tell you why as we go along. When you think of all the miles of the thread that was required to spin all of this by hand, and I showed you last week, or whenever I was here last, they over in Africa, they do this same thing. They get the hairs, they kind of pull them together, and then they roll them up on their leg, which kind of ties them together, and that's how they make their ropes and stuff this way. That's why they don't have any hair on their legs. It rips it off. John Gill, he's quite an author and a commentator. This is what he said about the view of Christ in the curtains. He said, these curtains of goat's hair denote the outward appearance of Christ in human nature, who attended with all human infirmities except sin. Remember, he got tired. He was weary. He got thirsty. All of these things, just like we do. But the Bible says he was without sin. He was in the form of a servant. The great poverty, he covered with reproach, had in the greatest contempt, and especially at the time of his suffering and death. And so he's relating all of these different things to this curtain and how that would pertain to Christ himself. He said it speaks of the white curtain, the purity, that speaks of the light, the joy, the holiness, the purity. But now above that, and we would not see this. You don't see this covering except on the front and the back. And that is the humanity there of Christ. Now, this entire goat's hair curtain was larger than the other linen curtain. It would go from the back all the way to the bottom, all the way up the to the top, all the way across the top to the front, and then it would hang over the front, and then they would fold it back up to where it made kind of what you call a valance, I think you ladies call them. You get them in your curtains and stuff like this. Us men, it's a fold over, amen. But that was a 3-foot covering, 3-foot valance there, because one of those curtains was covered in or folded in half. I don't think I've ever thought much about the goat's hair covering. In many of my studies, I've never really paid that close of attention to it. Can you make thread or fabric out of goat's hair? And the answer is almost no. Most people say, really, you can't do it. But wool is made of sheep's wool. And that's simple, that's easy, because it's fine and it'll weave together. But goat's hair is coarse and stiff. But as I found this verse, I really believe that they used the coarse goat's hair, and this is why. Anybody could go ahead and, or all the ladies, they could go ahead and take the wool and they could make thread out of it and do their thing. They did it all the time. But in Exodus 25:26, it says, and all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. That tells me that this was a special thing. It was not the normal wool or that type of thing. This was goat's hair, and it was very difficult that God had to give them special wisdom in order to make this goat's hair covering. So it was a very special thing there. A goat's hair curtain was used, no doubt, to cover and protect the fine linen curtain of that which was first placed in the tabernacle. The fine linen would not hold up to the weather and would not have kept out the weather, so something more rugged and durable was needed to go over that. That's why it said in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All we could see is that human body. But inside of that was the deity. And that's why when you're in that tabernacle, you don't see that goat's hair. All you see is that fine linen. So we see that it's the outward appearance of Christ. Inside the linen curtain is that holiness, that purity of Christ, which they saw as they worship. Now again, the goat's hair curtain was fabricated in a similar fashion as the linen one, but it was a little bigger. It consisted of 11 curtains instead of 10. It was 30 cubits long instead of 28. And that way it would completely cover that linen curtain. To see the heavenly curtain, you had to go inside. Before you were saved, you heard about Christ, but we never really come to grips with that fact of who he is until we come to that point of salvation and we acknowledge him as the Savior, as God, and it covers all of this other, covers it up. Now, I know that many times we associate goats with the world, and you've heard that, you know, he separates the sheep from the goats, and that is true. But in Matthew 25:33, the judgment of the nation, that's where we found that, and he shall set the sheep in his right hand, but the goats on his left. The lamb is the perfect sacrifice. But what confuses people is when we go to Exodus, God was given instructions for the Passover. And he says, the lamb was not just a sheep. Okay? He said in Exodus 12:5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. So in this case, the goat is not a bad thing. In that covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis 5 and verse 9 and 10, take me an heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against the other. And we know God passed through those sacrifices. So in that, a goat was not a bad thing. We've always kind of referred to the goat as a bad thing. It's not. Not the way God shows it here. Why I'm saying that is, don't force typology and symbolism. There are symbols, and sometimes this symbol might mean this, the goat, the sheep, separating the sheep from the goat. The goat's a bad thing. The sheep are good things. But yet over here in many of the sacrifices, the goat is a good thing. And so if you force typology to a goat is always bad, you got a problem. Because he's saying offer this of the goat as well as the sheep. So don't force typology all the way through everything. you can see the types, you can see the characteristics in many of these things, but don't go to seed on it, okay? Now, don't try to force it in every situation or you'll really get messed up. Now, when we picture in our mind the tabernacle going up, the fine linen and then the goat hair curtain thrown over it and being pinned together, think about this verse. He says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. The world did not see the transfiguration, but Peter, James, and John did. What most people see of Jesus Christ is not what you and I see. Okay? So we put on Christ, and they just simply look at him as many of them say, well, he was just a prophet or he was just a man. And that's what they're seeing. But as we give them the scripture and the Holy Spirit then convicts their heart, then they can see the reality. Israel, many times as they're looking at these things, God has got the picture there, but they're not necessarily seeing that. That's why when the world only saw a man, okay, Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53 and verse 2 says, he hath no form or comeliness that we should see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Until we come to that point of salvation, then Jesus becomes beautiful. Then we see the reality of all this. So what we've got a white linen covering. Then on this one, the goat's hair, we've got 11 pieces, 30 cubits by 4 cubits, 6 curtains of 36 foot, and 5 curtains of 30 feet. So the total size of the curtain was 45 feet by 66 feet. The reason for 2 pieces, I believe, was for transporting these curtains. You stop and think, you get a 66-foot curtain, and you got a lot of weight there. And so by breaking it in half, then it's much easier to carry and things like this. So starting from the back, you have 15 feet in height, the length 45 over the top, with one curtain of 6 feet, and that's folded over to where you just have a short valance there in the front. And that equals your 66 feet. It completely covered the deity. Completely covered that pure curtain. Now, goat's hair was used in connection with the Feast of Israel. It's used in the sacrifices. For example, it was used in the Feast of the Passover, so that's a good thing. Then the goat was used at the Feast of Pentecost. That's a good thing. The Feast of the Tabernacles. That's a good thing. So over and over you see that it's not, the goat is not referred to as a bad thing, but a good thing. But it was primarily in connection, and this is where you see the negative part come in, and that it was connected with the sin offering. The sin offering on the Day of Atonement and the cleansing of the sanctuary. So on the Day of Atonement, you had 2 goats. They were to be taken. The one was to be killed and the other was to be freed. One was killed for the sin offering. The other one was preserved alive to be used as that scapegoat. All of this is typology. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. Now, goats were used in connection with the Feast of the Passover. The Israelites were instructed to offer one goat, now notice, for a sin offering to make atonement for you. You find that in Numbers chapter 22 and verse or 28 and verse number 22. That atonement, its covering. Then the goat is always used in connection with the sin offering. For the common people, they had to offer the goat for the people, for their sin. Number two, for the consecration of the priesthood, when they were consecrating that priest, setting him aside for that priestly service, it was a goat sacrificed for sin. Then the dedication of the altar, when God would dedicate that altar, and he'd say the priest to dedicate that altar, it was done with a goat. And the same, number four, for the sins of ignorance. And you find this, Numbers chapter 15. There are scriptures on all of these, but I'm not taking the time to go through all of them. And then for each new month, they had the sacrifice, the monthly sacrifice. That was a goat. And it was for the sins of the people. Now, again, the goat's hair, the covering there was referring to the humanity of Jesus Christ. Jesus took on flesh and that to become sin for us, that we might be covered from the wrath of God and have the righteousness of Christ. We talk about the robe of righteousness, same thing. That as he would put that robe of righteousness on there, he would not see us, he would see the righteousness of Christ. So Jesus took on that flesh to become sin for us, just like those sacrifices. Then the length of those curtains was to be 30 cubits. Well, what's the number 30 have to do with? Well, the priest had to be 30 years of age before he could minister. Now, Jesus was 30 years of age when he began the priestly ministry, which consummated with his death being offered as a sin offering. So you see that same correlation coming through over and over. Jesus was consecrated to the Father's will, even to the death of the cross. He was both the priest and the offering. Then you come to the curtains. The 11 curtains were to be in two sets, a set of five and a set of six, joined by 50 tatches and loops. Okay? It does not give the color of the loops as it does for the linen cover. The linen cover was blue. Those loops, or tatches rather, were blue. But it doesn't specify the color for this covering. Why? I have no idea. Why one and not the other? The tatches or the clasps were made of brass, which is a type of judgment against sin. And brass cannot be seen in the tabernacle. You can only see the gold, the purity, the holiness, the deity. But above that, in the humanity, you see that brass, which is the judgment for sin. It's linked to that sin offering. So there's a lot that can be said about all these different curtains, but 50 in the number of scriptures talks about liberty, freedom, Pentecost, Jubilee. It's used in all of those different teachings about those different subjects, and it refers in typology to the number 50. And then number 9, in the sin offering, there are 50 loops. The loops, the 50, speaks to us again of freedom or judgment or penalty of sin and death. That's what we find in Jesus Christ. We find that freedom from judgment, that freedom from the penalty of sin and death. Now, the third covering, ram skin. The ram skin was covered in and dyed red, and there's a whole thing we could go into an hour just on how it was dyed and where they got all this stuff. But I'm trying not to bore you, even though you might be. But these things are important. That innocent ram had to die. Now, remember the picture of Jesus. What they see when they go in there is the purity, the holiness, the deity. But above that, right covering that, is the humanity and the judgment for sin. But above this, you have that innocent ram that had to die. Just like with Abraham and just like with Jesus, they were innocent, but the ram had to die. Its skin would be used for this third covering. Okay? The wool didn't have to kill anybody for that. But this one, the red covering, they had to lose their life, the innocent lamb there. It was layered between the goat hair and the badger skin. And that's going to be an interesting study. I challenge you to find a badger. I challenge you to find, we're going to get into all these different little things, nuances of what people come up and say, and from porpoise skins. Where are they going to get porpoises? You know, you got all these different things, and most of them that they say are unclean animals. The badger's unclean. Why would he cover his tabernacle with an unclean animal? And you say, are you correcting the Word of God? No, we're going to study the Word of God here in a little bit. But on this third one, the third covering, the ram skin dyed red, is speaking of the substitution of Jesus Christ. His substitution. Now, a ram was the substitute for Isaac as Abraham went up to offer his son. And instead of the son, God provided himself a lamb there. And he offered that lamb or that ram as a sacrifice, that substitute for Isaac. Jesus became our substitute. That's what this whole curtain is picturing here, the substitute. To take away the sin of the world. It reveals Jesus as the sacrificial one. He was offered to God. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, it says, for then must he often have suffered once since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as is appointed to men once to die, but after this a judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time unto salvation. So this covering, as you get these coverings in your mind, you see the deity and the purity and the holiness in the tabernacle with the pure white linen curtain. Then you see the humanity of Jesus Christ and the connection to the offering for sin, but then the red ram skin dyed red is showing he is that sacrifice. The blood had to be shed. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. He was the sacrificial one. Then the substitutionary one who died in our stead. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4 says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So he's not only the sacrifice, but he's the substitute for our sins. Then the consecrated one. The consecrated one who is committed to God's will. In Hebrews 9:25, he says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest," he's that consecrated one, "for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who need not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once when he offered himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which are infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." He became that high priest. He was consecrated as that high priest and never to be changed. You ever ask a Jew where their sacrifices are at? Where their temple is at? "Well, it's going to be rebuilt." "No, where's it at now? What are you doing for your sins now? Where's the atonement? Where's the sacrifice? Where's all this?" Jesus Christ became that high priest. He was that sacrifice. There's no need for a temple now. There's no need for a sacrifice. He made that sacrifice. He was the consecrated one. Now, let's get to the fourth covering. We're just going to get kind of started in this. The fourth covering, many have speculated about this word, tashish. And if you want to pronounce it different, go ahead. The term actually means leather skin or animal hide. That's the term, okay? Badger is not included in that. Porpoise, elephant, zebra, that's not what it says. It is simply a leather skin or animal hide. Okay? Now, it's a kind of a leather skin. Perhaps the animal had been killed for one reason or another, and it may be a special skin, but it's also translated as a name. It's translated as a skin. It's translated as sandal. So with all of that, what do we know? Nothing. We know that it was a skin. We know that it was probably leather. But that's all we know. Now, I've seen people that say it's badger. I've seen people that say it's porpoise. I've seen people that say it's an antelope, a sheep, a dolphin, a pocket, a zebra, ermine, and giraffe. So whatever Bible that you want to go to, they name it different things. But there is nothing in Scripture that says what it is. The term is a leather hide of an animal. So, are we trying to correct the Bible? Absolutely not. We're not trying to correct the Bible. I believe the translators used the word in a context that they knew and understood, not from our English understanding or our American understanding. The translators had no reason to believe that whatever these creatures were, that they were mythical creatures. These were real creatures. They were real animals, and their coats would be used to make this covering. We do not know the exact Hebrew meaning of this word outside of leather or animal skin. The specific species seems to be unknown. We do not know some of the things until we get to heaven. We'll find out then. Have you ever heard of a unicorn? Have you ever heard of a satyr? Have you ever heard of a dragon or behemoth? What are they? We don't know. Now, the names have been put in there, but I don't know too many people that have seen a dragon. I saw the movie Pete's Dragon, but I don't think that's really what he was talking about. There's pictures that and hieroglyphics and stuff like this. What is a unicorn? Some commentators will translate a unicorn as a horse with a horn. Some will translate it and say it is a goat with a single horn. Some will say it's the rhinoceros. What is it? The term does not tell us anything. This was a real animal that we do not know. In our context, we don't know what it is. But did they exist? Yes. They were put in the scriptures, many of these things. We understand that we don't know. We understand that we don't understand. So, this is the way I think. This is where I come up with this. Whatever animal it was, it would have to be kosher. Okay? God does not use filthy things to show a type or a picture of Christ or that of perfection. And he was very careful in the diet and all of this of the Hebrews, of the Israelites, and very careful all the way through this. So, to be considered as the tabernacle covering or a covering of the furniture that was to be transported, because they used the same things here in Numbers chapter 4, it would have to be kosher. Otherwise, it would defile the tabernacle and the articles within. That's why God said, you even touch this, and you're defiled. So if you put that on the tabernacle is what? Hello? Defiled. If you're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant and you put this skin over that, what have you done to the tabernacle? You've defiled it. So in my mind, God would not use something that would not be kosher, that would defile the things or the of God, whether it be the tabernacle or the implements and things inside. So, the porpoise and dolphins are mammals, but they are considered as a fish kind for kosher considerations, and therefore it would have to have fins and scales, but it has skin like a whale and therefore unclean. A badger would be unclean. An antelope having split hooves and a cud would be kosher. He's a cud chewer. The only thing we know for certain as Tashish was some kind of an animal or animal skin. Now, there would be plenty of antelopes or things like that. They could get a hold of something like that that would be kosher and could be used for that skin. But you're not. They're out there in the middle of the desert. They're not getting all kinds of porpoises. Where are they going to get them? There wasn't badgers around there. So where are you going to get them? I personally believe where they got these skins, they weren't out around here hunting out there in the desert. I think they brought them from Egypt. Because when God provided everything for that tabernacle to come out of Egypt, he provided the silver, he provided the gold, he provided the jewels, he provided the materials, why would he not be able to provide those same skins that would be kosher and that could be used for that covering, okay? So, think it through. Why would God instruct the children of Israel to kill and skin an unclean land or sea creature and then process that skin into leather and then use that leather as a covering over the most holy items in the most holy place and nothing else could touch? It makes about as much sense as skinning a pig and using its leather to cover the ark. You say, well, a pig was unclean. So was a badger. So were many of these things. I think they grabbed a word that they, in their mind, like a satyr, like a unicorn, they used that term badger because it must have meant something in their context that we are not aware of. And so that's why I believe they used that term. Otherwise, it really makes no sense at all. I don't know what it is. And everyone I've read is simply guessing and pulling something out of the air. If the coverings all teach us about Jesus, how could an unclean animal teach about Jesus? I believe it could have been special skins they brought from Egypt, the Nubian ibex, the Arabian aurochs, mountain gazelle, all those things would be possible. But in the context of the translators, their thinking may have been something that had to do with a badger or similar to a badger. That's why I think they did that. Now, we're out of time. I got to quit. I'll see you in about 2 weeks. Pray for us. We'll be going to New York City, down in the Queens, Little Jamaica area, preaching there, and we'll be back one of these days, shortly. Somebody told me I need to look up the definition of retired. I don't know. Maybe if you got a dictionary, you can help me. But anyway, God is good. All of this tabernacle, there are so many things in it. And the typology and just really studying it out, it shows you the detail and how God is very interested in detail and specific, even measurements and things like this. It's really amazing. Well, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for the tabernacle and how you illustrate your Son and how much of a blessing it is to us as we understand all of what you've done. And you put a picture right in front of Israel, yet they did not see it. Help us to be mindful and read the scriptures and that we might see, open our eyes, that we would see and behold the wondrous things out of your word. God bless us now. Be with Pastor as he preaches. Lord, use him. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, get around and shake hands with somebody.